Welcome to episode 117 of
Yes.
Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. I am Sherry.
I'm Taylor.
And today we're going to talk about some more themes because last time we were talking about themes and we each had more to get to, but we ran out of time. So
Yeah.
we thought that we would finish that up with this episode. And then the next episode, I think we're going to do, it's going to be a fun one about what different writers do for their writing process, like whether they have to have a
Yeah.
blanket or whether they always have to have a hot cup of tea, like somebody I know, or that kind of thing.
Well, and then that's actually a fair point. I'm glad you mentioned that right now, because if you guys have anything specific that you need, go ahead and write in. We'll talk about it on the show. That'd be
Yeah,
great.
we'll put it on the next episode. So de definitely do that.
Yeah.
So the next one that I wanted to talk about. Oh,
Wait.
first,
Whoa.
wait.
Have you been? It's been like a month.
I was gonna say, how are you?
I'm pretty good. We are obviously late on this episode. We do apologize, but
Yeah.
we're consistent in our inconsistency, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's just been a lot going on and that kind of stuff. So I've just been working a lot. I have been working on plotting a rewrite of another book that I had written a few years ago and had kind of tossed aside because it was not what I wanted it to be. And I'm finally now plotting out what I do want it to be. So I've been working on
Nice.
that. Let's see. Yeah, just working and lots of family events. We did a derby party this past weekend. That was
That
pretty
was
fun.
very fun. Yeah.
Just that kind of stuff. So pretty normal. Pretty normal. What about
Yeah,
you?
it's been crazy. Your Nana, my mother,
Yes. Yeah.
has been in and out of the hospital, and your dad and I had to go over there, and we were with her for the week that she was in the hospital. We're going
Yeah.
to be going back in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, I think, a little less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She's getting better, but it's a lot,
Yeah.
and that's really the main reason why we weren't on time with this, was
Yeah.
because we were
Yeah.
dealing, I had to go out of state and deal with that, and it was a little scary. And but
Well,
we're
I'm sure our listeners like understand life stuff.
yeah, for sure. So I'm glad that we're back. I'm excited to, I mean, I look forward to doing these episodes.
I do too. Well, it's just nice to talk about writing, like you're the only person that I really talk about it, so passionately with. I bug my friends about it, obviously, like, oh, this writing thing, or burr, 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 burr. But I think you definitely get it, and it's just nice to actually talk to someone else who knows things and also like help people, hear new tips and stuff, and we get new
Yeah.
tips from our listeners, and I just think it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What are you eating and drinking?
So today I have something that is both my eating and my drinking. I have a strawberry banana milkshake.
Oh, yum.
I did take a picture of it, so I'll send that to you.
Okay.
And I told my wife as I went upstairs with my milkshake, I said, there better be no boys in the yard when I get downstairs. And she just died. So I
It.
thought that was
Well,
pretty good.
I'm drinking water. I just got done with court, like not
Oh, yeah.
15 minutes ago. So, although
Yeah.
it would be great to drink, my brain is not to that point right this minute. So, I've got water and I have no idea what we're going to eat for dinner.
Yeah, fair
No
enough.
idea. So, no fun food or drink for me today.
Well, water is good for you, so
It
everybody
is.
drink your water.
It is. I need to be. Ooh, I should tell everybody I have to have a colonoscopy, speaking of water, because
Should you? Is that something you should tell everybody? Like I've
I
asked you.
don't know. I need sympathy. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, well,
Ooh.
that's fair.
But that's coming up in a couple of weeks too. So, or maybe next week.
I
Ooh,
think it's
next
next
week.
week.
Yeah. So, that kind of fun thing that's been going on. Life has been going on.
Yeah,
So,
life stuff.
okay. So this was one that I had wanted to talk about last week. It is justice or injustice as a theme in your
Yes.
books. So justice and injustice are really two sides of the same moral coin.
Which I
And
think the last time that we did this in our last episode, we had like both of us did topics that were two sides of a coin, which I think is interesting. That's like a theme in itself, just
It
being
is the
two
it
sides of
is.
something.
It is. But authors have used these concepts many, many times to, bring attention to the questions of morality, of power, of societal norms. It's a way to bring, especially when we do it in terms of a dystopian novel or a high fantasy novel, it's a really great way to kind of poke at our own system because of the way that we show things happening in that other world.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. But by weaving justice and injustice into their narratives, writers can engage readers on ethical dilemmas and shed light on the complexities that we all have as humans. And justice itself represents the moral principle of fairness, equity, I guess equality, not sure really equality, but well, maybe, and righteousness. So in fiction, it often manifests as the triumph of good over evil. We see that trope a lot, and the vindication of the oppressed or the restoration of balance to a world that's plagued by chaos, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely immediately thought of good versus evil. Wow, we both struggled on that. You tried to say eagle, and I tried to say eagle. But I think good versus evil. Oh my God, now I can't say
Wow.
it. I'm not even drinking. It's not. There's no alcohol in my milkshake, I promise.
There's no alcohol in my water.
Lord. Anyway, I think that good versus evil can be its own theme as well. Like, it's not necessarily just justice versus injustice, although that
Right.
can go into it. I think good versus evil can also be its own
Yeah, we
theme.
should do an episode about, how we do some of our episodes about twisting tropes and making them new. Good versus evil would be a good one to try to do that with because
Yeah, it
it's
would.
such a common trope, but it's a trope for a reason. So,
Yes. Yeah.
but characters who champion justice embody virtues such as courage or integrity and compassion. They're inspiring readers with their unwavering commitment to what's right, that kind of
Yeah.
thing. Injustice serves as a catalyst for conflict, driving characters to confront oppression, corruption, and moral ambiguity. A lot of times, that's where you get the trope of the anti-hero. He,
Like the vigilante type of.
well, the one that doesn't want to be dragged into this mess, it's not my problem. And yet, when they see an injustice that is so bad, they can't help but step up and have to do something about it. Trying to think, like the Katniss books. What were those books?
The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games. She definitely didn't want to step outside of her comfort zone, but
I see. That's a good example because I was trying to figure out what you meant by like an anti-hero in this situation. I was like, that sounds very heroic, to step up against injustice. But I like that example because that clarifies it
Yes,
a lot.
she wasn't one of those that was like, I am going to go fix this. I am doing this because I am noble. And she's really didn't want to, but she couldn't allow the injustices that were going on. So she was a reluctant hero, maybe is a better term, as opposed to anti-hero.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, but then on that note, I brought up the vigilante thing. That's also another way that you can show characters fighting that injustice. You see it a lot with the hero, like the superhero comics and stuff like that. But even like revenge stories, like that could also be, well, if no one's gonna do justice, then I'm gonna go and take it myself or whatever. And you can argue if that is justice or not.
That's very interesting too, because in the end, usually the vigilantes get brought to justice because even though they think they're fighting injustice, they're doing it in a way that is not just necessarily. And so, they're fighting injustice but get brought to justice themselves. So that's a good example. I like the vigilante. I hadn't really thought about that. But injustice can take many forms, from systematic discrimination, societal inequity, personal betrayals, acts of cruelty. Characters who experience injustice often have feelings of anger and disillusionment, a desire for retribution, like you were talking about. And that can set the stage for a lot of dramatic confrontations and moral reckonings in your story.
Lots of conflict.
Yeah, definitely. Just talking about these themes makes me want to go write. I just,
Yeah, let me go write a book with this
I
theme of.
know it's fascinating. I love characters and I love what they do, especially the way I write as a pantser. I don't know what they're going to do half the time. I have a plan for them, but they always have their own plan, and it's always so exciting to see what they do. And I'm like, wow, you know. So anyway, I love to write. Symbolism for justice and injustice. So things that you might want to put into your book that might have that subconscious portrayal of justice or injustice would be scales. You know, the scales of justice, of course, is a big one. Swords, the blindfolded figures, the lady justice who holds, she is blindfolded because justice is supposed to be blind. And those all evoke themes of justice, but you also have things that give you the idea of balance and accountability and impartiality. Anything that symbolizes that would be
Ooh,
great
that's a
for
fun word.
justice. Yes.
Impartiality.
Impartiality. Symbols of injustice might be things like chains or shackles or barren landscapes. Those underscore the plight of the marginalized or the human suffering that's going on in your book. So, you know, I think in high school we all learned about imagery and how when you write dark gray colors and it's always wet and damp and dank, and you know, that evokes a sense of injustice and oppression and that kind of thing. So this is another theme, though, that you don't have to be super bold with. You don't have to go and bash people over the head with it. We have a lot of dystopian stories, which I honestly, I love those.
I
My
think they're
husband, you
great.
know, your dad's not a big fan of them, but I absolutely love them. And honestly, some of them do tend to be teen books. Like I think Hunger Games was technically a young adult, but it's such.
It's dystopian for sure. Like I definitely would categorize it. It and a couple of others like it really sparked that genre
Oh,
of dystopian
Divergent,
novels.
the
Yes.
Divergent
Yeah,
series.
Divergent series as well, you know, and then a bunch of series came out that were just like that because people do enjoy those. You know, they do speak about this justice versus injustice and people fighting against that, and people love that. You know, people want to read stories like that. We want to believe that we can be those people who can stand up to injustice as well, especially with everything going on in today's world. Like it is needed now more than ever. And I think stories like this and using like this platform is a really good way to just kind of open the eyes of people who don't really think about it.
I think so too. And in these dystopian stories, for sure, the injustices are usually just so heinous. We're just like, oh my God, how can they be living like that? How horrible for these people. But even though it might be a great way to increase tension and conflict, which it definitely is, try and tweak it so that it's not quite as expected because it is a trope that has been overdone. There are lots of things that you can do. And even if it only means something in your mind as the writer, I think that your subconscious will come through in your writing as to what you're trying to get through.
Yeah, I agree.
They say that the color of justice is dark blue.
Is it really?
Yeah, which is interesting, which I think police uniforms are dark blue.
Oh,
And
fair
you,
enough.
truth and honesty are often connotated with blue. And if you think about that Divergent
Sure.
series, the blue were the wise ones or
It was
the
candor or something.
candor.
I want to say it was candor. Or, oh, I can't remember. It's been too
I
long.
can't either, but I remember blue goes
Air
along with what
erudite?
I don't
Wasn't that
remember.
in something too? I don't. Yeah. Somebody out there is yelling, it's this. Well,
You
it's funny,
guys.
right? It's funny you say that though, because my character, in Louis and Delaney, Delaney can see auras for people. She can see colors based on like just with how her magic works. It just developed that way. And the color for Oris, who is an extremely bad guy, is dark blue.
Oh,
So,
how
and he is a
interesting.
very much not a just man. He is, yeah,
Yes.
he's not,
N
yeah, not at all.
although, you know, you
He's
can
fair, I
say,
guess, but
Police are enforcers, and he has kind of got that enforcement mentality.
Well, he definitely has that.
You know, he wants his own order to be followed. So, kind of like the police have, you know, order. That's interesting.
I
Yeah,
know.
the colors in that book, because we were talking about colors before, about how like orange and no, it was yellow and purple don't go together because they make brown. And you're like, but wait, that's the colors that I chose for these two characters that are, you know, that they are the two main characters and make a unit. And so it's so interesting the color choices that you've used in that novel.
Well, it was also very early in my writing career that I wrote that book. So, I didn't think about that kind of stuff as much as I do now. Like, I think about it all the time now when I'm picking colors. It's okay, well, does this color mean something?
We
So,
there is a lot we didn't know. I mean, and that's great that we grow as authors, and
for
even
sure.
I think even, you know, the best-selling authors that are out there still learn and grow as they write their next book and their next one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Greek goddess of justice was Themis. So that might be fun to like make that a name of a character. You know,
Yeah.
there's a lot of things that you can look up in mythology and that kind of thing. And for the people that get it, great. They're going to
Right.
love it. But the
Yeah.
people that don't get it, it's still a cool name, you know?
Right. They're going to be like, oh, that's weird. And some people might even go and look it up and be like, oh my gosh, they did that, you know?
Well,
So.
that's like with Patricia Briggs' book, The Troll Under the Bridge. And I was like, that is the coolest thing. And I went and looked it up, and it's a real
Oh, and
thing.
it's
She,
real.
it's
Yeah.
real. And that, you know, but I didn't know that, but I was fascinated enough by it. And she had it in such detail. I was like,
Yeah.
is this something that's real? And I went and looked it up, and it really is real.
I think they moved him. I don't think he's under that bridge anymore. I could be wrong, but I have a vague memory. I think he got moved. Yeah. Maybe in the same area. I'm not sure. I just remember because I follow the Facebook page, so I think it popped up at some point. I could be wrong. Again, people might be yelling at me, but I'm pretty sure he moved. I'm pretty sure.
It was so cool, but I love it when I'm reading a book and it intrigues me so much that I have to go and look it up.
Yes,
That
yeah.
is such a very cool thing, and I
I
love
know.
doing that with mythology. One of the books I'm writing that is going to be romance. The anyway, it, there's a lot of Roman gods in it. It is they actually are the
Oh,
Roman
the
gods.
one where the main character is the tattoo artist and
Yes, that's the sister.
yes.
That's book
Yeah,
two.
oh, the sister. Okay.
Hallow.
Hallow. Yes. We got there.
It's been a while since I worked on that one.
Yeah.
Which I think that one's going to be a fun one because romance is looser with the rules.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a lot of fun if I can ever figure out how to write men, which we've had a topic about that too, about men trying to write women and women trying to write men. I mean, I do remember there was a book I read that I was so disgusted with the way that the male author had portrayed
Oh.
these women. I'm like, women,
Sure.
no, you
Yeah.
know, and it wasn't even like, oh, it's a high fantasy, so that's just the way it is in that culture. He just had women doing stupid things, and it irritated me.
Yeah.
So, and I'm kind of that way. I haven't figured out men, although you would think with I've been married forever, I would know men. And honestly, basically, they're just people, so that's how you
They
should
are
write
just
it.
people.
They are just people. But anyway, I totally got off topic there. Let's
Men are
see.
people too.
Men are people too. Statements or thoughts on of characters on justice. Okay, so you can have a character who values and seeks justice, seeing it as our responsibility to humans in general.
Sure.
You can have a character who says, well, justice is always the right way to go. It's always, this is the way it has to be, which is a fun character because they're so immovable in their
Yeah.
thought processes. And that can help create justice too, which I mean, conflict too. I think I might have this later on, and but right now I know I do because I talk about this, but Sturm and okay, I cannot complete a single sentence. Holy cow. We are reading, what are we reading?
Listen, I would just like to go back and rewatch this recording and just see what my face is doing as you say all of those things.
Damn
We
it.
the fantasy book that we're trying to read.
Yeah.
Oh,
Dragonlance.
I was gonna say I could have told you maybe 2 seconds ago before you asked the
Before
question,
I
but
screwed everything up.
yeah.
Well, one of the characters in that is very justice oriented. He is a paladin, and this is a D&D based series that we're reading. Excellent, excellent series. It's what got me into science fiction fantasy, honestly, is this series way, way back in the day. But he thinks that way. Justice is, this is the way it is. Stern Brightblade. And that this is just, and there is no other way to do anything. And so it's interesting to throw those characters in with people who are just like, no, gray hat type of people, maybe a little bit black hat type people. Some characters might think there's no peace without justice. There must be peace. Some characters might think that to create harmony, laws must be just. And I think that's a fair statement, but who is deciding what's just? That's where you can get into all kinds of fun things with your books. Because even some of these dystopian societies, the government thinks they're being just. Well, not always, but
Not always, but yeah.
in some of them, they think this is the just way to be. It has to be this way.
I mean, there's a lot of not to get all real lifey about it, but like there's a lot of laws and systems and the way that they're in place that does create a lot of injustice, in my opinion. So it's not just limited and using fiction and our novels and stuff, we can highlight that.
Yes.
Not necessarily through dystopia. I mean, we can do it like we're writing urban fantasy, so it's based
Right.
in this world. So we can absolutely take inspiration from the injustices we see every day, like from our own government and from our own world, and put those in our writing to kind of highlight them.
There was a movie, District 9, and I don't know if it was a book or not before the
I
movie,
don't know
but
either.
I only saw the movie, and it was an excellent way to highlight injustice in our world. And it was eye-opening because as I was watching it, I was like, oh, no way. Humans would never do that. We would never be that way. And your older sister, Courtney, and I got into a heated discussion about humanity and injustice. And, you know, that's thought-provoking. If you can put that into your writing and make people think about it, then that's a good thing, I think.
I agree.
And you know, and it was so interesting because what we are conditioned to think of as injustice and that kind of thing was this was totally opposite of what was expected. You know, usually we think of aliens are going to come and dominate us, and it's going to be dystopian because they're going to, you know, try to rule us. And that movie was totally opposite. They crashed here, and we dominated them, and turned them into, they had it was total inequality, and
Yeah, it was terrible.
it was terrible. It was terrible. So yeah, this is a great theme. And like I said before, you don't have to be super bold with it, but just to get people thinking is not a bad thing. Some thoughts about that characters might have on injustice that could help create tension. You know, the what comes around goes around, you know. And then the vigilante thing, where if justice doesn't prevail, I'll have to take matters into my own hands. That's makes a great character or a he villain. Another thought process is like where you think you're too insignificant to make a difference, and that's an interesting one to try to highlight in our novels too, because people are out there nowadays thinking, well, my vote won't matter, or, you know, and so it's important that we help people see that everybody is significant. Inequality isn't my concern because it doesn't affect me. There are people that will sit and watch someone getting beat up and not do anything because it doesn't involve me. And
Yeah,
that,
and then there's also like the bystander effect is like a big thing.
yes. Isn't there
So,
a new movie out on that? I haven't watched it.
oh, I have no idea. No.
Something about these people that watch someone get beaten And then I think it's like a supernatural thing. Something happens. But anyway, that bystander thing.
Yeah, and it's very easy to fall into the trap of the bystander effect, I feel like, especially if it's something that's not as personal as watching someone right there get beat up. But in terms of like the world as a whole, like if the government, because people are like, well, what can I do about that? Somebody's going to be doing something about that. And it's like, well, everybody else might be thinking the same exact thing. So absolutely a good thought for people to have about injustice.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Another one is, it's not my place to question the authority figure, whether it's the government, the church, or whatever. You see what you think might be an injustice, but your character might think, well, I don't have any authority to stop it. And I'm trying to think, there was something that I just watched recently that was along those lines, and people knew. Well, I know there was, I learned in college, there was a psychiatry experiment.
Psychology?
It, I guess
Psychology?
a psychology experiment where they had a person and an actor, but the person that was doing it didn't know. So basically, it was purported to be, oh, we're going to work on ESP. So if the guy gets it wrong, you're going to deliver an electric shock.
Yes.
And the more wrong they got, the higher the shock had to go. And the actor on the other end was just writhing in pain and screaming. And they kept doing it. And after it was over, they're like, why did you do that? And he's like, because they told me to. That's what I was supposed to do. So very, very interesting. And these are great character types or character thought processes to put into your novels if you're wanting justice or injustice to be your theme.
Definitely.
The justice should be restored by any means, or the ends
The
justify
ends.
the means, that we're getting back to justice. It doesn't mean matter how I get there.
Those are good characters. They're kind of fun.
They
They're
are.
ruthless and relentless, and they're just very interesting to write.
Justice is a nice idea, but it's never going to be reality, so we might as well not even try. And sometimes these characters can help move your main character to where the main character needs to be. And it could even be that your main character might have one of these thought processes that, and then that's their character arc is growing from that thought process. So I came up with some books with justice and injustice as a theme. Harry Potter. That is a great example of justices and injustices and good versus evil, that kind of thing. The Hunger Games, which I said, it's a great novel with inequality and thoughts of justice, Divergent series. Oh, Handmaid's Tale.
I actually thought of this one earlier when you were talking about the using color, like the grays and like that kind of stuff. The sh TV show, I know it's a book series, but the TV show did a really great job of highlighting those colors. It was very dim and gray, and then in her memories before everything had happened, it was more warm. It's warmer colors. They're more saturated colors. So yeah, I had thought about that earlier because that's a great example that I can think of off the top of my head of using those colors.
Yeah, for sure. And definite injustices going on there.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, like you mentioned, the comic books, Marvel, DC comic books, those movies, those often delve into the depths of justice and injustice. And those characters, like in the Marvel movies, Iron Man was a very complex character, super self-centered, and yet did have an idea of what he thought justice would be. It's just fascinating. So I really, really like this particular theme, and you can do it very subtly, or you can
Yeah,
do
for
a
sure.
big
Or you can
bang 'em
smack
over
people
the
in the
head.
face.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
So that's all I've got on justice and injustice.
All righty. Well, my theme that I'm going to talk about today is about found family. It's also a trope that gets used pretty often. So a found family story is about individual characters that end up coming together and how they end up together.
So, like people that aren't related to each other, but end up like a family,
Right. Yes.
like the Walking Dead type thing.
Yeah, although I haven't gotten so far, but yeah, essentially, because I think there were a couple of characters there that ended up becoming like family or whatever. But I haven't watched all of The Walking Dead, and I haven't read the story either. So, you want to include a lot of different backgrounds and, people with their own stories about why they've ended up in your story and in the plot that you're writing there. I really enjoy these stories. I like found family stories a lot. They involve such a fun cast of characters. You usually have like opposites of each other in there. You have people that just you wouldn't really think would mesh well together. You can just have.
Go
Go
ahead.
ahead. No,
I was
it's
just going
okay.
to
I just
say,
think it ends up more interesting, is all.
it does. And that's what I was thinking about our Dragonlance series that we're reading. Yeah, because you have Sturm, this paladin who is all about, he's a lawful good alignment. And then you've got Tasselhoff, who is not. And they're in this group. And not only are they friends in this group, but they become family. So it is the found family, which I get it. I get it now.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad you said, they become found family because they don't usually start as a family type unit. They're usually like, God, I hate this person, or like, ugh, I need this person. I don't really know them, like, but I guess I'll work with them. And that's usually
Or
how these.
yeah, like with The Walking Dead, it was just they happened to be the people that were there when this disaster happened. They didn't choose each other. They just found themselves in that circumstance and then grew together.
Found families tend to fill the human need for close, reliable, and safe interpersonal connections. And this can be relatable to all kinds of people, like, just in terms of your audience, I mean, like your readers are going to find that very relatable. I'm sure we all have people that we've gotten close to that are outside of our, blood related family and that kind of stuff. People that feel like our siblings or feel like a mother to us or something like that. Friends that feel like family can be a way of thinking about this. There's a certain comfort also in knowing that there are people who will love you regardless of biological relation. Like, oh, well, they don't just love me because I'm their sister. We're not related. It's not my sister. It's again a very relatable experience when it comes to having friends and people you grow close with and trust. People you can count on, is an admirable trait also, and your readers are typically, not always, depends on like what people want, but your readers will often love the characters that offer, this unconditional love and
Like
trust.
Willow and Buffy.
That's also another good example of found family is
That
Buffy, Xander, and Willow,
that is.
and Giles, and all of them. Very, very good example. So I've got a couple of symbols about family in general, that you might could use as a way to start expressing that your characters are coming together as a found family. So gardenias are the flower that represent family. It represents sweetness and purity and just coming together, that kind of thing. Trust, I guess, is something there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I Googled like what are some symbols that represent families and that kind of stuff, and that was one of the first ones that popped up. Family crests, and symbols. Think of shields for knights and banners and family colors for kilts or that kind of stuff. What is it? Game of Thrones has like all the animals for, the lions for the Lannisters and the wolves for the Starks and like that kind of thing. Really good ways to show that this group of people is one unit, is we all carry the banner of blah. And, therefore we belong together. Trees. Think of family trees. And say your found family group comes together and they start to create their own little tree to represent themselves as a found family unit.
I like that.
Yellow roses symbolize trust and friendship. And I've actually used this in one of my books before. It's, I think, on a tarot card for Tarot Man in my Aiden series. Because the goal was to get her to spark friendships and make friendships. And so he pulled this card for her and was like, you know what? You need to form these friendships. And it was a yellow rose, like hidden somewhere within
Interesting.
the image.
So clever.
I think all of these symbols really can just be used to hint or symbolize family in your books. Perhaps one character could be holding a gardenia when they meet the main character, or another character that's supposed to be part of that tight-knit group. Maybe trees could play a larger role. How do they grow throughout the book? Do they develop more branches over the course of your plot and as your found family grows
I
together?
love that. That's a great idea.
So
Yeah, I
just you can
think,
play with them.
yeah. I think of family as being like hearth and home. So if you want to bring an image of hearth, like what series was it? Oh, it was a book I wrote. Oh. One of the books I wrote, I have wow, what book was that? Anyway, I have them gather together in front of a hearth, which could symbolize the found family of this group that's coming together in my book. Oh, it was Kata. It was the Kata book.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. I didn't until just now. Hearts, of course, you could use circles, the unity, the never-ending circle. I thought about knots, but sometimes that brings about bad connotations. Like, but then again, the knot like you had in your hand fasting ceremony is a very that symbolizes connection to love and all of that without end. And
And then also think about Celtic knots. Those all have different kinds of meanings and stuff. Like those are not inherently bad. They all just, the sailor's knot. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but my wedding band has the sailor's knot. That's what Sid and I chose for our wedding band. So like those types of knots absolutely could be like found family.
Locks and keys. A lock and key together often represents loves. You over in Paris, they buy the lock and the key and hang them on the
They do that in
fence.
Helen now too.
I saw that last time I was up there. But the lock and key together can represent love, commitment, fidelity. And the idea is that the key can unlock the lock, which symbolizes how love can unlock our hearts, and putting that into the found family idea. Animals that we think of as good parents or good companions that maybe run in packs, like bears or wolves. A bear might symbolize strength as well, but also the protectiveness. You always see the mama bear cub bear protecting her cubs. So those might be things that you could use as symbols in your novel.
Yeah, I like that. I like those. So now I'm going to give you a few tips on like writing a found family. How would you go about it if you want to use this theme in your novel? And I got most of this information from writerthreads.tumblr.com. It was a great blog post on there. They had a lot of really good tips. I suggest going to them and seeing all of the other stuff that they have because they had some pretty cool insights. Make sure to create a diverse group of characters, like I was saying a little bit earlier. You want like different backgrounds, different cultures, experiences. It's going to make the story a lot richer. It's going to provide some conflict and opportunity for these characters to grow to understand each other, and understand different perspectives. And it's going to be really fun, just to see how they all interact with each other coming from such different backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, I love that.
Establish a common goal for your found family. So characters come together to achieve a common goal. If you're going to face something head on with somebody and it's super stressful, there's an opportunity for bonding there. And this can be anything, like surviving an apocalypse to just like starting a business together. It doesn't have to be this world-ending thing. It can be business, or it could be this world-ending thing, which is definitely going to be a stressful bonding moment for your characters.
Yeah, for sure.
You definitely want to establish that goal very early in the story. That's probably going to be one of your big plot points, or plots throughout your novel. Explore other themes that can bolster your found family theme. So I was just thinking about, the theme of belonging, the theme of identity. Those are huge. Trying to figure out who you are and how do you fit in this found family. Acceptance is a big one. So like I was talking about, Trust and acceptance is like a very big quality to family and found
Yeah.
family.
Especially if these people are so diverse, you might have someone who was raised to not, accept something, and then they end that acceptance. I think that's a good one.
Yes.
Unity maybe
Oh,
as a
absolutely.
theme, maybe.
Yeah, coming together and just figuring out, we are this one unit, we are a team. Let's do this thing. Whatever that plot point is or whatever. Explore each character's backstory. So this is important. You want to make sure that you highlight each individual character for the found family. You don't want to give too much attention to one over another, and one character potentially not get much attention at all. Because then that relationship between those characters is not going to be very at the forefront, I suppose. So why did these characters end up together? Why do they share the same goals? What is it that each of them needs that's fulfilled by their found family? Because if there's not something to bring them together, to work together with, they're never going to develop that deeper connection. Create conflicts and obstacles. I mean, how we writers always say we throw rocks at things. Just keep throwing rocks at them. Give the characters obstacles and problems to overcome together. Give them a reason to trust each other. Show them, what each character can do. This can be internal, problems against each other, or it can be external, which is, something they must tackle together from outside their group. You want to avoid romantic subtext when writing found families. It can be pretty easy to accidentally fall into writing characters romantically, because when you write a found family, there are these deep connections that these characters are forming, and it's pretty easy to slip into, oh, well, they could be romantic. But if you're really going for that found family feeling, you want all of the characters to have those deep connections and not necessarily one more than the other.
Yeah, for sure.
Allow for vulnerability with each other. This is what sets found family apart from your average friends. We've all got friends, but to take it a step further and call them family means that you show them way more of who you are than you would someone else. Show that these characters rely on each other and that they would do anything for each other.
For sure. Yeah, I think you can also use that found family theme. Wow, I'm struggling. It can be fun to use it maybe in a dark way. Like I just saw a show, I don't know what it was. I'm into watching the murder things right now, all the true crime stuff.
Great.
But like a villain who wants a family so badly that he creates his own family, like maybe
Oh,
he
wow.
kidnaps. And this was, I don't know what show it was I was watching. It might not have been a true crime. It might have been, oh, it was Luther.
Gotcha. Okay.
One of the killers kidnapped a whole bunch of people and killed them and set them around his house to be his family because he
Great.
needed that, he wanted that found family. Yeah, it was Luther.
Awesome.
But what
Awesome.
a interesting tweak on that to take it that way, kind of
Yeah.
twist that trope a little bit.
Yeah, I hate that. I like the cozy little,
I found
oh,
my
I
family and I killed them all.
found my family. Oh, God. No. Back up. Back
And now
up.
they'll stay with me
No,
forever.
no, 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 no. Back up, back up, back up, back up. Some examples of books and series that have used this found family theme and trope are Six of Crows duology by Leigh Bardugo. And I actually am reading those right now. I'm
Oh,
actually about to
really?
finish it. Yeah. And they were very good. It's just about this crew of kids, teenagers who go and take on these, they are all in a gang. And so they take jobs to get money and that kind of stuff. And so they go and take on these jobs, and they're these massive jobs that are going to get them a lot of money. And they have to work together and trust each other and get through these jobs that are just insanely difficult to overcome. And
I've
they're
not
very
heard
good.
of those. I have not. I'll have to check those out.
You would know their sister series, which is the Grishaverse. It's the Shadow and Bone.
Oh,
Yeah.
yes,
Yeah. Which
yes.
I've read those too. But this is the same author and it's the same universe. So
Okay.
Yeah, they're
I
very
love
good.
that. Yeah.
I believe the TV show, I haven't watched it, but I've heard that it uses some plot points from Six of Crows in the TV show, which is
Okay.
supposed to be about Shadow and Bone, which is its own series. So I think
Okay.
they do some mixing in there. There are
Okay.
probably some characters in the show that are in Six of Crows that are not actually in Shadow and Bone.
Okay.
But
Okay.
yeah, Six of Crows, huge down family trope. It's great. She does a really good job with writing that. It's awesome.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship.
That is the perfect example.
Yeah.
100%.
Friends, the TV show. Definitely a found family, all these friends coming together. The Last of Us, Ellie and Joel become their own found family. Firefly.
Love that series.
And
Love that
then
series.
Avatar: The Last Airbender with Aang, Katara, and Sokka, and even the Korra series as well. Korra and Bolin and Mako.
Yeah, what
So,
I thought of was Lilo and Stitch.
oh, that's a good one.
I think so too. Those are good. I like that.
So that's all I have on found family stuff. If you guys have other thoughts, let us know. It's one of my favorite tropes right now. It's why I chose it, is because I'm reading Six of Crows. So
That's so
it's very good.
fun. Yeah, I like this episode. It's very fun to go into themes and think of ways to put them into our books without it being that overdone trope.
Cliche, yeah.
Yeah, the cliche, that's a good word for
Right.
it.
Right.
Well, thank you guys for listening. I
Yeah.
didn't write down the outro and I don't
Oh
remember what we
no.
usually say. What is our website? You can find us at www. Is it dot
Eat,
eat
drink,
drink
right.
right podcast.com?
Yeah, I believe so.
You can email us from there. All of that good stuff. Please leave us a review. That will help us get found. We're trying to be better.
Well, we're working on it. It's
We are.
we love talking about writing. We love sharing all of our experience and inexperience with you guys. We love to hear from y'all and y'all's thoughts and your ideas and how you guys do things. And we really appreciate that feedback. I think it's great.
Definitely. Thanks for those of you who are supporting us. I know we have been letting you down a little bit lately, but we appreciate you sticking by us and helping us out because you can't do these things for free. I had wanted to come up with a cool little way to sign
Oh
off
gosh.
on this, and I think I came up with, so go make magic with your words.
Something like
I like
that.
that. Well,
Wonderful.
see you next time.
Thanks, guys.